I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
We're going to do vibes checks today. Don't worry. We're going to get there. Sal Camacho is going to join the show in the 11 o'clock hour. Hopefully hear from Paul Hamilton as well. We've got a Sabres game. But for the last 5 minutes, we've been talking with Sneaky Joe as he was leaving about the college football playoff rankings and all the scenarios that are breaking down. It's the best thing for college football is this 12-team playoff.
The 12-team playoff could not have come at a more perfect time because all of these teams are creating so much parity right now, and it's just – it's so much fun.
Like I've got 5-star recruits transferring out to other big-time programs, like Walter Nolan going from A&M to Ole Miss.
And we were talking about
it. Two lost teams are still, 100% alive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Which is just so much better. Like, I love college football, but I've always hated the sort of,
you need to go undefeated.
You lost once, so you're dead.
Like you're basically trash.
Yeah, right. You're garbage. So we're just not gonna include.
Oh man,
you.
Like, it's the best. It's the best.
I love it because it's like we were talking about it in the sense of, you know, it's no longer a hey, if you make it, you're probably only gonna play one game. If you barely scrape in, you're gonna be the 4 seed and you're gonna get killed by the number 1 seed,
yep.
And that'll be it. And it'll look nothing. It won't look that good because yes, it's the semifinal, but it's one game.
Don't get me wrong. In this 12-team run, there will be blowouts.
Right, no doubt.
But looking at this playoff predictor that they already have, or that ESPN does like every week now,
yeah.
And one of the games was Notre Dame at Tennessee in like round one.
Right.
Get me there. Not just a meaningless bowl game where like, you know, yeah, you're going to have a bunch of kids sitting out because they're preparing for the draft and they're like, my team didn't get in the playoff, I'm out. Or my team didn't win the SEC championship.
It's a meaningful game.
It's now a meaningful game. It's part of the legacy. I'm really pumped for it.
It's also like, let's say you're the 10 seed, right? And you're going into wherever and you win. You beat a team on their own field. That in itself would be electric. Right? Like who would be, if it was a 10 seed, who's the 10 seed right now predicted?
Oh, I got to look all this up now.
I didn't know if you had it pulled up in front of you.
I did not have it pulled up.
Regardless, it doesn't matter who it is. But let's say this 10 seed team, whoever it is, would go in and beat the other team at home and you get to the semifinal. That in itself is a benchmark you can use in recruiting. Like that's something that's just like right off the bat. It doesn't matter if you get blown out in the semifinal game. The semifinal game means you actually got to it. It's not that you earned
it now has more of a college basketball feel.
Right. It's more of a like when a Sweet 16 or not Sweet 16, I'm sorry. When a 16 seed can make a run in March Madness and win one or two games. That incredibly increases their stock in terms of transfer portal and recruits coming in. Like that in itself, a win for a 16-seeded team in March Madness means a hell of a lot more than what it used to mean if you were a 4-seed losing in the semifinal of the college football playoff. Because, again, it's one game you were just picked to go to, essentially. It's a glorified bowl game in some cases.
Yeah, and now it's like
now it actually means something.
Yeah, it's a little different now. Teams will be building their season off of we did this. Look what we were able to do. I'm a big fan and a proponent of this. I thought like you said, it came at the perfect time where NIL's here. Teams are able to actually not stockpile talent anymore, like Alabama and Georgia have been able to do for a few years. I mean, Alabama over a decade now, where they could just stockpile talent, have a senior play 1 year, but he was a 5-star recruit. He's still going to be a first-round pick. You're fine. The current, and this was for this week, first-round matchups, these would be on campuses. Number 9, Notre Dame at number 8, Tennessee. Number 12, Boise State at number 5, Ohio State. Number 11, Ole Miss at number 6, Penn State. This is maybe my favorite one, actually, is number 10, Alabama at number 7, Indiana. I love that. Give me that. And then the top four seeds would all be based off of the winning your conference championship, those being the SEC, Big Ten, ACC, and Big 12. Number 1 seed, Oregon. Number 2 seed, Texas. Number 3, BYU. Number 4, Miami Hurricanes. Give me that, though.
Yeah.
Like that first round is juicy. You could probably sit there and go, yeah, one of those games likely a blowout. Boise State, Ohio State. The rest of those games?
Mm-hmm.
Indiana's legit.
Yeah. And it's again, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a random team that's all of a sudden good. But again, last year, that team probably wouldn't. They'd be a super outside shot to ever make it.
They would have to win the Big Ten championship
to get in the four. So they'd have to beat Oregon.
Yeah.
Who's the number one team ranked in the nation?
Well, and here's the thing, too. So they're on the bye this week. They play Ohio State Saturday, November 23rd at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
So for if the four-team playoff thing was still there, they'd have to beat both Ohio State and Oregon in like a three-four-week span to get in. They'd have to go completely undefeated because that's where they are. They're 10-0, and they're finally starting to get respect. Mm-hmm. Vegas still is trashing them. Their over-unders on points scored is ridiculous consistently. But now for them, like, they could still lose that Ohio State game and still have an outside shot.
Right.
Because of where Penn State is. Like, you're seeing Penn State still there.
It's funny. There's a
lot of fun.
There's a whole, like, simulation thing on ESPN right now that you can do with, like, a college football playoff predictor. Mm-hmm. I did one for Texas for you real quick.
There we go.
So you go through and you can choose one team. They have a list of all the teams that could make it, all the way down to South Carolina, Washington State at 7%.
Nice.
You can pick you could pick one team, and then you go to the next step, which is you pick all of their games that are upcoming, the last three games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me pick who's going to win, Texas, Arkansas, Texas, Kentucky, Texas, or Texas A&M. I pick Texas to win all three, just for argument, like just for quickness.
They are going to be favored in all three games, so
right.
That's okay.
And then it says, okay, will this team win their conference championship game? And I just said yes, just for fun, just to see. So calculated probability is 99% chance to make the playoff, obviously. 99% to get a first-round bye.
Mm-hmm.
And then it breaks down the bracket. Somehow it still has Texas ranked at number 2. I don't know if that changes
or not.
I
would assume Oregon would also go on to win the rest of their games in the conference championship.
Right. So looking at this here, though, it breaks down the bracket. Notre Dame plays Alabama, 7-10.
Cool.
Notre Dame then somehow beats Texas.
I would lose my mind.
And then Notre Dame plays Miami.
Oh, there we go.
Beats Miami.
That would, oh man.
Penn State plays Ole Miss. And beats Ole Miss. I don't know what's going on in this bracket, but Oregon is nowhere to be found.
Love that they're allowing James Franklin to win a big game. Like, that would ever happen. In any reality.
I was going to say that. And they have Penn State winning the national championship.
James Franklin wins multiple big games.
It even says on here, not here's your happen. Winner, not what you expected. There are 200,000 simulations, so try again.
Yeah, it's something I'm very excited for. I think
This is parody. This is what...
You're still probably going to get the great teams that win.
Sure.
For me, though, and why I've always loved college basketball and why it's been something I've really enjoyed for all of my life, is that not every season is built up as you need to win the championship. Because not every program is built the same. It's different in pro sports. Most pro sports, not all. Because baseball is kind of its own animal with teams paying a lot of money for certain players and other teams really can't. Mm-hmm. But in terms of football, you know, it's the draft and everyone has the same salary cap. And while certain owners may not want to spend a lot of money, no one can go over that threshold. You can kind of get creative, but what have you. It all kind of comes down to like the same ingredients you got to nail typically through the draft. College football, college basketball, no. There is a difference in how those sports are run. And so for me, like, I look at this too of like Boise State, or we were talking with Joe before he left, Army. Army's got a game coming up against Notre Dame. If they could beat Notre Dame and win the American Championship, they all of a sudden have a right to potentially be into that, you know, out of Power 5 team. That's what Boise State is right now. Notre Dame kind of considers themselves that too because they're the independent. But they would all of a sudden kind of wiggle their way in. That would be huge for Army, especially they don't have NIL. They don't get transfers. They build their programs like this. It's not going to, you know, all of a sudden a bunch of guys are going to want to, like, you know, sign up for the Army. I'm not saying that, but
right.
It'd be huge for their program, for Boise State. Already a national brand, sure, But for them to maybe get another notch on their belt of how good they are as a mid-major, especially with them trying to rebuild the or being part of that, try to rebuild the Pac-12 kind of run, be huge. Colorado, who's not in this right now, but there's a good chance they're going to be playing BYU in the Big 12 championship. For Deion Sanders in year two to go from, what, 4 wins last year to potentially 11 wins this year, a playoff spot, a Big 12 championship, maybe even a win in there? I mean, you can start all of a sudden seeing where the power dynamics are starting to balance themselves out. Georgia, even right now, Georgia went from an unstoppable powerhouse 3 years ago, or for like the last 3 years where they lost like once and then only ever really lost to Alabama, to all of a sudden they're picking up 2 losses. Yeah, they beat Texas, but they've picked up 2 losses, Ole Miss and I'm blanking on the first one, Alabama.
Yeah.
And now there's a bit, it's balancing itself out. And I think it even, you could argue, kind of started last year. Michigan's talent level in terms of like just in terms of just like, you know, power rankings of it, they were undefeated, but they weren't considered like this powerhouse NFL talent galore everywhere. I mean, they lost their head coach and their quarterback and they're a 500 football team. I mean, that's tough. Texas, I mean, they're doing it a bit different, like they're, but they're hoping and praying they can keep Arch. They will. I would be absolutely stunned if they weren't for next year. But like it's I like the different power dynamics. We'll see how this lasts, you know, 5 to 10 years down the road, if they expand it or if all of a sudden it's like, eh, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, like they still kind of run it. We'll see. I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't. You're looking at teams like Oregon with the Nike money they have and Dan Lanning and how good he's been. I think we're going to see a lot of different national champions because now more teams get in the playoff. So you don't have just this monopoly on it.
And you'll
be able to recruit more honestly of, no, we'll have a chance at a national championship here. Right. We're in the Big Ten. We're really good. We can compete for a national championship. If you're Oregon, we've shown in year one, we can beat Ohio State. We can get there.
Right.
I think it's going to add more fun to this. We mentioned this yesterday too. I want NIL to get to a point where it's not the Wild West, but I think we're going to get to a point here where, yeah, there's a little more parity. I don't think it's going to ever be like college basketball where the best team in the country can be Duke or Kentucky or what have you. They can go undefeated and they still don't win the national championship. UConn's kind of been a bit of an anomaly here going 2 straight. But even then, in that run, you had San Diego State making it to a national final. You had Florida Atlantic making it to a Final Four. There's still that difference there. And I think college football is going to a little bit embrace that too. Because I'm with you. The idea of you had to be undefeated or your season was a quote-unquote failure always, I think, sat wrong with a good portion of America that didn't like basically grow up with college football, either being in the South or in the Big Ten country like Columbus and Ann Arbor. I think that was always a little bit of a tough sell for people of, you mean I've got to be 12-0 every year, right, to have a chance in that, really?
And then that just gets, even if you're a fan of that team, it just gets boring after a while.
It gets boring, but or even further back, when essentially newspapers just picked the national championship.
Right.
That you didn't have a national championship game. You had a bowl game that typically could wind up being 1 versus 2.
It was literally just an eye test. It was just an eye test.
It was a total eye test thing. You'd sometimes have 1 versus 2, but I mean, there's been national championships where it's 2 versus 4. They beat 4, and all of a sudden, well, we're 1. Like, 1 played 3, and they still won, and it didn't matter. I mean, I want that team to be the national champion. Very, very weird. College football has always kind of been its own thing, so I'm glad it's embracing this playoff model. I think it's better. You're already essentially the developmental league for the NFL. Like, I mean, in earnest, you're the developmental league of the NFL. So let's embrace it. Let's do the playoff and keep games meaningful, because we did get to that point where bowl season was super pointless outside of 3-4 games that took a month to get to.
What I do love about this, though, is, like I said, like you can do this, and I'm just looking at the list of teams, right? And it just shows the top 25. On this predictor thing, Louisiana's on here. The Louisiana Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, baby!
They are currently a 10% chance to make the playoff. And again, I'm trying to pick this to give them the best odds to make it, just to see what it would do.
Mm-hmm.
Even after having them win out and have them win their conference championship game, there's still only a 44% chance of them making the playoff. So that's like, it's still like, even though it could be disappointing, that's exciting. Like, you could win all that stuff. And then again, that does all these simulations, and it has Louisiana coming in at the 12 seed against number 5 Oregon in the first round. So again, it's all this different stuff just to see like how things break down and how, obviously it's a computer simulating this stuff, but it's still like you can see how many teams from how many different areas of the nation can actually make a difference.
And I think that's key because for a long time, college football has been dominated by the South.
Yeah, it's been Georgia, Alabama, and maybe Texas, maybe.
No, not even. Not even. You're talking 1 to 2 years of Michigan, LSU. Ohio State. But yeah, it's LSU, it's been Florida State, it's been Alabama, it's been Georgia. Yeah. Auburn in there for 2 years where they were really good, winning one national championship. It's been dominated by the South.
But yeah, I mean, and now you look at, you have, obviously in your top four, you still have somewhat Southern. No, no, actually, you don't. You have Oregon, Indiana, Ohio State, and Texas. And then you have Penn State, which, I mean, that's kind of a out-of-nowhere story, I feel like, right?
They lost to Ohio State. They're exactly what we all expected.
No, in terms of like recent years, right? Like in terms of being in this conversation of making the playoff. Because again, it's expanded now. You can have teams that might let you down once or twice a season still make the playoff and prove something.
Still can be there.
But then you also have like Notre Dame, who's always had a storied history but just hasn't been good enough to be in the top four in recent years. You have BYU. Like that's...
They're not making it.
It's crazy. Boise State, Mountain West Conference fan here. That's incredible. Like that's super good.
It's fun. You know, I'm excited.
You get so much different like recognition to all these different conferences, even though they might be looked at as lesser conferences. Mm-hmm. If Boise State makes it to the playoff, just making it again, they're already a good team, right? But just making it takes eyes to that conference, and it in a way. In a trickle-down effect, kind of, helps the other teams in a little bit.
Especially for them, too, because they maybe won't get great high school recruiting classes, but they can probably dominate
the transfer portal. Right.
And getting guys that just want play time. Mm-hmm. You can argue if you're Boise State, you'll make the playoff.
Right.
And if we get enough of you guys here, we can maybe have a few upsets here. Then all of a sudden, I mean, that's more eyes on you for the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, Aston Genty is
he's one insane.
He's probably not going to win Heisman. I think it is going to go to Travis Hunter, especially Colorado.
He should win the Heisman. I mean, Aston Genty is insane. Yeah.
But he's now become like a national story. Like, he's going to be a big part of whatever their playoff game is if they don't screw this up towards the end.
Right.
I mean, they still got to get there. But they also took Oregon to the wire earlier in the year. Now, Oregon has changed as a team. They're obviously dominant, but you can argue if you're Boise State, no, we took Oregon to the wire. We can beat Ohio State.
Right, but again, also, you got to look at it, like, I'm looking at it in terms of what it does for the conference itself, because yes, it'll make Boise State better, because more eyes will be on them, more players will want to go there. But again, it might, you know, make someone think, hey, Josh Allen went to Wyoming. Why can't I?
Yeah, especially now with the idea where, like, here, perfect example. Josh Allen going into his final season at Wyoming. I couldn't remember if it was junior or senior year, but he had mentioned like Wyoming's goal was to go to the Rose Bowl, that they would be so good that they would invite that Western team to the Rose Bowl instead of one of the Pac-12 teams. Now it would be our goal is to make the college football playoff. Our goal is to win the Mountain West and be so good that we go to the playoff. Not necessarily win a game, but I think it's big. And then locally here for UB, look, UB went from 3-9 last year to their 6-4 this year in Pete Lembo's first year.
4-2 in conference play.
And I think they've got a lot of good foundational pieces moving forward, not just on the team, but in terms of recruiting and the facilities they have. You can also build that up. We've seen with Lance Leipold. When he was here, they got to a point where they were 10-2 going into the MAC championship game, fell apart, finished 10-4, but they had pieces there, and you're getting NFL talent regularly going from UB into the NFL and sticking on rosters. It's an outside shot, but we also saw how good UB basketball got, both for the men and women. So UB football, it's something else too, of not just like a big bowl game or a top 25 ranking, but maybe, hey, on an off year for Boise State, maybe we're the out of five, or the out of five team, or the group of five team,
right?
Maybe we're that team. It gets fan bases engaged.
Right.
In areas of the country that maybe weren't. I mean, here, Indiana football.
Right.
Seriously? But now that fan base is engaged and will be engaged going forward, especially if they can keep their coach. I mean, this is his first year there. But for him, too, he's probably sitting there going, they're going to give me a boatload of cash. You're going to get boosters that are going to want to put money into that program now.
You've proven yourself.
And now all of a sudden, it changes the dynamic because it's not all just about the national championship. You're not just dealing with the big boys here. The big boys are kind of cannibalizing themselves. And you can sort of go in there as well. But very, very exciting. And just, I want to get that off my chest. I don't really know if we're going to have another chance to talk about it. But
we will make time to talk about it because this is going to get exciting.
In December, January, with the NFL playoff, the college football playoff, I think I'm going to want to talk about a lot.
Yeah,
but
it gets exciting.
For this week, of course, Bills Chiefs. And I just threw it up on Twitter as well. Vibe checks for Sunday. We're getting the first injury reports from yesterday. We'll get a little bit more today. I think there was a good indication for Amari Cooper with catching passes from the jug machine. Last week, it was just kind of not lofted passes, but it was more just assistant coaches throwing him balls, and it seemed like he had a pretty large cast on his hand. And yesterday, it didn't seem like that as much. I think that is going to be a big factor for me personally, Josh. If Amari Cooper can't go, I just don't know if the Bills have enough horses. We've seen what this offense looks like when it's just Khalil Shakir, the running backs, and one of Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, what have you. They can make a few plays, but I don't think they can go up against one of the better defenses in the NFL. And then and a defense in Kansas City is very good against the run as well. That's I think Cooper does need to play. If you have Cooper, Khalil Shakir, Dawson Knox, Curtis Samuel seems to be getting a little bit healthier. Matt Collins has been pretty good in his limited role. I think you then have a shot there, even though you're out Keon Coleman, and I think probably out Dalton Kincaid.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have a shot there. But for me, it really does matter on if Amari Cooper plays. And Johnny tweets in, sounds like we'll have the same offensive personnel as last week going up against top five defense. How do you feel? And that was sort of my thing. It's like, yeah, it's fair. It's fair. If they need to, and that's maybe another reason why this game has not gotten up there for me, like past Chiefs-Bills games. It's absolutely been part of the regular season that I've seen it every day this week. Allen's 3-1 in the regular season against the Chiefs, 0-3 versus them in the playoffs. And I'm like, I know. But a lot of it also is I don't think they're getting the full complement of the Bills. Like, you're not getting the full complement for the Chiefs. So I don't want to say it's just on the Bills. I mean, they don't have Hollywood Brown. They don't have Rashee Rice. They don't have Isaiah Pacheco. I mean, Kareem Hunt, he's scoring touchdowns. Josh, he's running under 4 yards per carry.
It's not
efficient by any means.
No, but it's crazy that Kareem Hunt is scoring touchdowns in the NFL in 2024.
That's actually very fair, yeah.
That part in itself is just, like, wild. But you're right. It's not efficient. If you can find a way to shut that down and make it even less efficient than it already is, I think that's something that should be the target for the Bills, because it feels like he is not their whole offense, but he's like sneakily a large part of it. Even though it's not efficient, I do think that it's like a big part of it. And if you can shut that down, which I think it'd be easy to shut that down, right? I mean, he's not what he used to be.
He's not what he used to be, but I know, and to be fair, the Bills have not helped themselves with this.
Mm-hmm.
The running game scares everybody.
True.
You saw what Jonathan Taylor was able to do without Anthony Richardson at quarterback. Like, it was essentially just lining up, handing the ball, let him go, and he had, almost 100 yards in the first half, if not 100 yards in the first half. It was ridiculous.
The one thing that scares me about Kareem Hunt, though, and we saw it mostly last week, hadn't seen it up to this point, but last week against Denver, he had 65 yards on 7 receptions. That's something that old Kareem Hunt, vintage Kareem Hunt, whatever you want to call him, that's what he used to do. And that's something where it's, you know, hey, if they're going to start to activate that because of injuries and trying to find different parts of the offense here, that's something that I think the Bills can handle. Because running backs out of the backfield is one thing, but a running back catching a pass, the Bills can handle that. They've had
maybe.
Okay, I'm more confident.
Them versus
them.
The screen game is just it's always.
Well, no, that's true.
It's a hope
it depends
and a prayer
on it depends
every
on
time.
If it's a screen or if it's like an actual, like, you know, he's lined up out wide. But most of the time, it'd probably be a screen.
We'll see. But one more tweet here before we take our first time out. Freelance says, we win, people will say it doesn't matter until we beat them in the playoffs. I know why I sit there. We lose, people will say the Chiefs own us. But an 8-2. Team that was rebuilding, we're playing with house money, in my opinion. Let's have some fun. I think it's a good way to look
that's
at
fair.
It. I think it's a good, healthy way to look at it. As I've said, that's not where I'm looking at it. And I don't apologize. Like, I wish I looked at it differently. I don't. And I'm not going to lie about where I'm at with it. But I think the idea of playing with house money is probably a fair assessment. That you're injured, you're 8-2 in a transition year or rebuild year, as Lance put.
Your bye week's next week.
Your bye week's next week.
And then you have...
And to be fair, even with the one seed conversation, I mean, it's not like you take over the one seed when you win this. If you win this game, you're a half game back. You still need to hope the Chiefs lose. So it's not like you immediately gain that. I think it's fair, but with that being said, still want them to win.
I do think it's also if you win this game, it'll kind of carry the vibes through the bye week and help you in San Francisco and Detroit. And sure, LA too, but those two, San Francisco and Detroit, that's the real game where it's, okay, if if you beat those two teams, or if you at least rival them and give them a run for their money, that's where it becomes the, okay, the Bills are legit.
Yeah.
Could be a very, very fun Kansas City is not something that's been a problem in the regular season in the past.
Mm-hmm. Could be a very, very fun month for the Bills. Vibes check for Chiefs week. 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll take your calls, read some more tweets as we come back after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's a great coach. He'll be a Hall of Fame coach. He already is, really, even though he's, you know, not retired yet. But listen, there's always somebody that you're trying to get past, right, to accomplish the goal that you want to accomplish. So I don't care what walk of life you're in or what sport, you know, you're in or whatever it is. There's always a challenge in front of you. It's just who that challenge is. And this week for us, it's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott giving his roses to the Kansas City Chiefs. And, yeah, it's always a challenge. Mine's, you know, getting out of my warm bed on a cold day. It's a huge challenge for me, Josh. It's a huge challenge. You can tell me it's not?
I mean, you're not wrong.
I wake up today, I look at my weather app, and just, I sigh.
Buddy, it wasn't that cold
this morning. It wasn't that cold. But
it was colder yesterday.
It was cold enough.
I had like an inch of ice on my windshield yesterday.
Oh, that's the worst.
I sat in my car for like, I refused to scrape it. I was like,
Are you somebody that keeps your scraper in the car year round? Or,
yeah.
Or, okay.
It's really just because I have nowhere to put it in my house.
Mm-hmm. You just got
to
put it in the trunk. That's where you put it. You put it in the trunk.
I have like an SUV, though. So it's like it's in the trunk, but I can still see it.
Mine's on the floor of my back seat. Yeah, it does now, not move from there.
That's where it is right now because now it's like, okay, if I get in the car and I have to reach for it, I don't have to, like, I can reach around behind and grab it, but I don't have to go into the trunk.
It threw me for a loop like 2 weeks ago. My girlfriend texted me. She goes, I got to remember to put my ice scraper in my car. And I'm like, what do you mean put it back in? It left? And
right.
She goes, yeah, you don't take it out. I'm like, why would I?
You have it for 7 months out of the year.
Yeah. Just like, keep it there.
But again, it's a where am I going to put it in my house? Like,
well, like I'm not going to put it on a mantle. I hate that thing.
Yeah, right.
It's a necessity.
I'm going to lose it.
Yeah, I'm going to put it in a closet and it's gone.
Or
vanishes.
It's going to be a, oh no, I'm late for work and oh, I walked outside and there's snow on my car. But oh, look, my snow brush isn't in my car.
Yep. Always prepared.
Yeah, always prepared because you never know.
Never say that about us. We're not unprepared.
What did they call that storm in October when we were like six? A surprise storm?
I was going to say it was
I always just called
storm.
The October storm. Oh,
I thought it was called the October surprise storm.
I mean,
it probably was.
It could be both.
Surprise.
Yeah. Like, but still, regardless, it's like, you know, they call it a surprise for a reason.
I like to always got to be ready. They call it surprise for a reason. Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Mark is on the line. Mark, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. Going into this game, I kind of feel weird about it. I kind of, like a lot of people have been talking about on the radio, like the playoff game against the Chiefs is the one that matters. If we lose this game, my biggest concern is going to be that this team has the inability to beat a team with a winning record. Ravens, Texans, and now the Chiefs are probably who we're going to play in the playoffs. I think that's the biggest concern. I know we're getting healthier off the bye. I think that's the biggest takeaway. We got to this game healthy. After the bye, we get Milano back, Cooper, you know, our receivers back. But I just feel weird about this game. I hate the Chiefs. I want to hate them more than I do because they're so likable. Travis Kelce, as much as he kills us, he's likable on his podcast with his brother. That just annoys me even more. But, that's my biggest concern. We got to start beating teams with winning records. And I'm going to have to listen to you boys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Yeah,
the hate thing is something that I've struggled with too, because it's like you respect them, but you also don't want to. Like,
I'm kind of there.
Does that make sense? Like,
last year kind of got me there. We were talking about earlier this week of just last year's game in the regular season against the Chiefs, mm-hmm. and how poorly the Chiefs conducted themselves afterwards.
Yeah,
I kind of got there. I agree on the Kelce podcast, though. They are a very fun personality.
Is that more Jason Kelce though?
I think it's both. I think both are a lot of fun.
I like Jason Kelce. I think he's a good guy. I think he's funny. He's hopefully going to be here this weekend. Obviously, he'll be rooting on his brother this time. Last time he was here, he went to the tailgates and did bowling ball shots and everything and got the whole experience. But
he seemed to enjoy himself.
Good. Convert him.
On the winning record thing, or playing teams with winning, beating teams with winning records, mm-hmm. yeah, their last one was week one against Arizona.
Yeah.
Like, Arizona's easily, like, if we're just going off of win-loss and your, quote-unquote best win, it's, like, easily Arizona. Easily. Tennessee's bad. Jacksonville bad. Colts, their franchise.
Broken.
Broken.
Miami broken.
Mentally.
Miami broken.
Well, Miami maybe figured it out with that win over the Rams.
That's true, but it is the Rams.
And the Rams have also had a lot of issues this year where all of a sudden now it went from, like, that could be a fun game in L.A. to, are they actually that good? I mean, they had their full complement of weapons. Miami's not a good defense, and they handled them. So, I think up to this point, the Bills have not really played a team with a winning record. But you also don't get to make your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You've gotten two bites of the apple with Houston and Baltimore. You could argue both times you just were not healthy.
Right. And you didn't have Khalil Shakir for both games. You didn't have...
Effectively didn't have Khalil Shakir for both games.
Right. You did have him in the Baltimore game, but he gets hurt. It just was like all over the place for the first half against Baltimore. And the Texans, I mean, that was also the whole, I don't really know how much it played into it, but the emotional aspect of it, of playing Stephon Diggs.
Nah, I don't think they played much into it at all.
I don't really think it did either.
Allen went 9 for 30.
Yeah, that's true.
No one was getting open. That was the game where they decided we are going to add a wide receiver. It just took a few weeks.
Took a week.
But it doesn't help. I mean, those games still happened. You still lost them.
Right.
It doesn't matter what the excuses are. You still lost them. And, I mean, even the Arizona game, we've talked a lot about slow starts this year. That was definitively one of their slower starts of the year, where they were down like 17-3 right before half.
I think that's the one thing, though, is like you can look at all of these games and say, yeah, like there's questions in there, but there's the one thing that's never a question is the second half comebacks or the second half turnarounds. Because obviously they didn't come back against Baltimore and Houston, but you could argue that if they would have been healthy, they probably could have came back against both.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at every single game, and I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, but the fact that you can always count on them to come back or at least attempt to come back and like show some life coming out of the locker room in that second half, I think that's something that's really important, and I think that's something that's really important in a playoff scenario.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not there yet, but in terms of, you know, let's say it's an Orchard Park home playoff game and all of a sudden you're down in the first half. Okay, cool, whatever. Doesn't matter. Like that's the thing to me is it feels like that's the one thing that's for certain for the Bills this year is they've always figured out how to come back and how to come out and at least make it interesting.
Yeah, the third quarter's always been a very good quarter for them, specifically this year. But they do have one of the worst point differentials in the first half, but I think specifically the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
On Mark's point, though, especially bringing up playoff teams, this team has given me trust. I don't need to always see them play a bunch of great teams in a year and win them all the time. This team's going to win 11 to 14 games every year with Josh Allen, it feels like.
Yeah.
I don't need to see them beat 5-6 playoff teams in a year to think, they're going to beat them. Are you sure they're going to do it in the playoffs? I've seen what this team turns into.
Yeah.
Coaching staff, that's a different conversation.
The players.
But the players specifically, I feel good mainly – the main character, Josh Allen, I've seen him turn into a superhero at times in the playoffs, making highlights that I will tell my kids about for years and likely start lying about the stats to make him a folk hero. Like the Pittsburgh run last year will probably turn into a 99-yard run by the time I'm 70. I'm just being honest. It probably will. Right. I think it was like 45 last year. It'll be 99. It's what's going to be.
I also think it's... now is where you're really going to see what they can actually do in the next 4 weeks here. Because even though the Rams are a team with a losing record, like you've said, they had injuries. It's had a lot of problems this year for the Rams. So it's one of those where it's, you know how good they are,
You know how good they can be.
Right, but you're right. You know how good they can be, but they just don't look like that right this second. With the 49ers, they've gotten healthy. They're back, kind of. Brandon Ayuk is still out, obviously.
He's going to be out for the year.
But it's still the 49ers. They still have all these different weapons. They still have that great system under Kyle Shanahan. That's still an important test. Obviously, the Chiefs. And then the Lions. I mean, the Lions, I think no matter who you put into the, you could put a super team between the Chiefs and the Bills against the Lions in the Super Bowl this year, and I don't think they'd win.
I'm very
The Lions
nervous.
Look unstoppable.
I'm very nervous about the Lions.
I don't really care if you lose them in the regular season because
it's an NFC team. It really won't play any bearing on it. It's kind of the same with San Francisco.
I just don't think they're stoppable. They should not have the loss they have. Like they should be the only undefeated team in the NFL right now, in my opinion.
They did lose to Tampa.
They lost to Tampa by 4 points. I don't remember
rematch
why.
Of the NFC divisional game from last
Ooh.
Year. That's what
is that
going to
be a playoff game? Are they going to get to meet again in the playoffs?
Don't even know if Tampa's in a playoff spot right now.
That's true.
They are not. Yeah, they're 4-6. Never mind.
What happened in this game? Why did they lose?
I don't know. I mean, 20-16.
Jared Goff threw 307 yards. He threw the ball 55 times.
They won a game where he threw five picks. Stats mean nothing to me anymore.
He also threw two interceptions in that game. Baker Finally Mayfield had him. An interception and a rushing touchdown. I don't know. I like I said, I don't remember that game, but the Lions are a team to me where it's like...
I also care so little about a game that happened in week two, like to now.
Fair.
Because
look at every team
Lions, what I've seen from the Lions is they get turnovers, they score special teams and defensive touchdowns, they're incredible on offense. Even when, and I've brought this game up a lot this week, but even when their quarterback throws five picks, they are good enough to stay in a game and win a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so, so well coached. They are so talented. They, to me, feel like they feel like what San Francisco has felt like for years in the NFC, which is head and shoulders above everybody. They might have some close games in the NFC playoffs. It will be stunning at this rate if they are not in the Super Bowl representing the NFC.
If you look at the Lions, though, compared to the 49ers, do you think the Lions won't have as much longevity?
No, I think they'll have more longevity. Their quarterback's better than anything San Francisco's had.
Right, but
I'm trashing Jared Goff with the five picks, but that.
But Jared Goff is also 30.
Cool. He can play with 35, 36. Mm. Oh, absolutely. He's not mobile already.
That's true. He's throwing all those interceptions and they're still winning. So you're right.
It was not even that. It's not like he's losing mobility.
That's true. Because he's already not mobile.
He's a guy that I'm going to run your system.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do it well.
I look at them
they've got young offense. That's the biggest problem with San Francisco now, too, is their core's getting older.
Right.
They're getting injured more. They're getting older, where the Lions are just a younger version of them. And they run a very similar scheme. I mean, they have the two running back monster that is Jameer
Sonic
Gibbs.
And Knuckles.
Yes. Jameer
Such
Gibbs
a good
David
nickname.
Montgomery. They're so good. And then he's got young receivers too. I mean, Amon Ross St. Brown's the best slot receiver in the sport.
Right.
Jameson Williams, when he is on the field, is an incredible deep ball receiver. Sam Laporta took a while to get going. He's finally getting going now. I mean, he's one of the best young tight ends in football. And then, Gibbs and Montgomery, as we already mentioned with running backs, are really good pass catchers. And I think Montgomery's a little bit older, quite a bit older than Gibbs, but mm-hmm. They're fine there. They are the young version of what the 49ers were. I think they have more staying power, though. I barely trust their quarterback more than Jimmy Garoppolo or Brock Purdy.
The one thing, though, with the Lions is you're going to find out if it's Ben Johnson or if it's the Lions. When Ben Johnson leaves, you're going to find out if it's him or if it's the Lions that are the reason.
I want to be a fly on the wall. For like all of his interviews, because I feel like he's walking in and interviewing teams,
right?
Like that's what that's going to be. Is he's walking and going, "Why should I come here? Not why. Mm-hmm. Why should we hire you?"
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain teams I know that will not fly. Dallas, when they eventually fire Mike McCarthy, super's not going to fly. You got to be a yes man to Jerry. The Bears, even though they should be doing everything on heaven and earth to get him to come there, I don't know if that's going to really fly there because Ben Johnson does not fit. The Chicago Bears vibe, which they need to change because you're seeing it's ruining Caleb Williams. It's ruining an offense that has a lot of talent.
Yeah.
That's why I don't necessarily know if he's going to leave this year.
He's a guy that can wait for that perfect opportunity because he's kind of like Steve Spagnuolo. Like, Spagnuolo doesn't have to leave Kansas City.
His difference is I don't know if anyone's looking for him because how bad he was as a head coach.
True.
Johnson,
true.
I think, is just taking it as I'm that talented at my job. This organization, I know it's strange because it's Detroit, has so much positive structure around it that I'm not going to tank a year and it'll be over for me. And I can just – I can wait for the job that will actually keep me employed for 15 years.
Right.
Instead of being – here, perfect example, Brian Daboll, who goes to the Giants to effectively fix Daniel Jones, and now he might be put out to pasture because of Daniel Jones, who everyone knew was not a good quarterback when he was hired.
Mm-hmm.
And instead he's going to be sitting there going, nope, I'm going to wait for the perfect one. Like Jacksonville, I would have told you maybe could be on there. Nope.
Not anymore.
I think because Trevor Lawrence just – I don't know if he's good enough. Caleb has the leeway of it's year one, Matt Eberflus, and you just fired an offensive coordinator that the Bears players can't stop trashing in the media in Shane Waldron. So maybe there, but they're like the only team I'm thinking of that like has like a realistic shot at hiring him. They're the only one.
Yeah.
And it's super fun. Because he is going to be like the star of the coaching carousel, and he may not even move.
Imagine if he went to Washington, what he'd be doing with Jaden Daniels right now.
It's the thing. You're seeing what Cliff Kingsbury is able to do.
And I think Kingsbury is like he had a bad shake in
Arizona.
No, he was
terrible. I hate Cliff Kingsbury, man.
You really?
Oh, I think he's
doing great with Washington.
Yeah, he's doing because he's a very good OC. I think he is.
As a head coach.
Yeah, I think he's
okay,
an abysmal head coach.
But, hey, listen, you put Ben Johnson there with another offensive mind like Cliff Kingsbury, mm-hmm. and that's just like boom, two things coming together. Just what is that? That would be amazing.
I like that we're saying all of this, and it could turn out to be he's like just a terrible head coach, and
yeah.
just a very and just a truly excellent OC. He could be a terrible head coach. We have no idea, and we may never find out. Maybe he knows,
and he's just trying to spare the NFL.
He's like, I'm going to keep taking interviews, but no, this is where I'm at. 803-0550, the number to call. Vibes check for Chiefs Week. We'll read your tweets as well after a quick timeout. And a reminder, coming up at 11 o'clock, Sal Capaccio joins the show for a better look at the Bills, with just a few more days until they host the Kansas City Chiefs, a 425 kickoff on Sunday. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We will keep getting connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. In terms of the vibe check for this weekend against the Chiefs, Steve tweets in, I am super pumped for this game. I believe winning this game and having the motivation for the one seed will be important to keep the team focused down the stretch instead of playing to win a division with a five-game lead. That's fair. That is a tough that's tough to keep the eye on the prize when you're like everyone else is garbage behind us. Like we're walking into the finish line. They need that goal to stay sharp. I think it's a really good point to bring up of just I've already heard calls about it of like when do we start essentially load managing the team? You know, Josh Allen. I don't really want to ever get there with football. I don't think there's enough games to really warrant it. There is a lot of injuries, but I mean, if you've locked up the AFC East and it's like, hey, you're either going to be the two or the three, what's the real difference? Mm-hmm. You can argue that. What's the real difference? Hosting another playoff game? I'm sure the Bills will love it, but for me personally, I'd sit there and go, you lost the last 2 years at home in the playoffs. So it's kind of the same argument of maybe losing the Chiefs in the regular season, change it up. You might beat them then in the playoffs. It's not right, but yeah, it's an argument. And then fun little conversation here that I just threw out there because the three of us were talking about. Does the ice scraper ever leave your car? Crystal tweets in, I moved to El Paso, Texas in 2007. The ice scraper was in the car remained, was then transferred to the new car in 2009 and was used only once after the snowstorm in 2012 here. It's still in my garage since and has gone through three vehicles since. That is the most Buffalo thing ever.
That's commitment.
That's so good.
That is commitment right there. You're just not giving up.
That is so good. Oh, I love that. That's my favorite. And then TJ here, you'll often hear him producing a lot of our Sabres games. Ice scraper and hockey sticks are always in the car at all times. Fun fact, hockey sticks also double as a long snow removal device. Plus, you are always ready for the breakout pickup street hockey game whenever you are there. And like we were saying,
always
be prepared.
That is the most Buffalo tweet. TJ, you've won.
That's the most Buffalo tweet
of all time.
It's always got to be ready for that random pickup hockey game.
You know what? You know what's nice, though? I have an ice scraper. My ice scraper is made out of a recycled hockey stick.
Yep.
You ever seen those? You take they just like cut part of the shaft of the hockey stick off,
mm-hmm.
and then they slap a little scraper on the end, and then they put the bristles on the other end.
Yep.
So cool.
Speaking of hockey, real quick, we do have some breaking news. Lindy Ruff speaking with the media, and he has confirmed Tage Thompson and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen not available for tonight's game against St. Louis. Dennis Gilbert will be in the lineup. We hope to hear from our own Paul Hamilton later on in the 11 o'clock hour. But coming up next, after a quick timeout, we'll get a word in on the Bills as Sal Capaccio joins the show next. This is WGR.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.